Welcome to the Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley at Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. May the Lord inspire, encourage, and direct you today. May you be transformed and refreshed by the Water of the Word.
Would you make your way over to Psalm 23? Oh, Lord, thank you, Father, for your presence in your house tonight, Lord. Oh, how we love you, how we love to praise your name. Really and truly, behold how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren, which is to say all the guys and the gals, the brethren to dwell together, to be here in unity. Pretty good idea that you had, Lord. How about we get all the humans singing the same words and our human heart immersed in a culture such as this? Unity in that respect is a very difficult matter until we come and worship. And then we sing these songs, many of the words we sang tonight, right out of your Bible, right out of your word, which means right from your heart. It's powerful when we lay down our stuff. Father, when we tune out all the white noise of the week, Lord, even possibly this day, the Goliaths that are screaming at us. Oh, thank you for worship and praise. And Lord, as we started Psalm 22, Psalm 23, and Psalm 24, the Shepherd Psalms. As we've said before, Lord, it's been said that the Gospels tell us what you, Jesus, what you did. But it's the Psalms, prophetically speaking, that tell us what you thought was going on in your heart. Thank you, Lord, for our time together tonight. Holy Spirit, please, would you have your way with me tonight? And everybody who felt the same said, amen. It's typical our practice here at Harvest to go right through the scriptures, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book. But I wanted to take a little break and cover three pretty precious psalms. Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? When Jesus said that on the cross to the uninitiated, that was like, why would he say such a thing? Didn't he expect this crucifixion, etc.? He sure did. But what was he really doing? He was employing something that the rabbis would do with their Bible students. The rabbis would cite the first part of a certain section of scripture, and then they would be quiet. And then the students would go, I know where that is. They'd dive into their Bibles, scroll through, find the passage, and then study and search those scriptures. What was Jesus saying? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He's basically saying, hey, everybody, check out Psalm 22. And there it was, written 1,000 years before Jesus was born. They're casting lots for my clothes, Psalm 22. My hands and my feet are pierced. Imagine having your Bible open to Psalm 22 and witnessing the Lord Jesus expire on the cross. You would realize that Jesus is not a hapless victim of Passion Week. He had a date with the cross, the 14th of Nisan, Passover, prophesied as we've seen in the book of Daniel so many years in front. And then when he's there on the cross, what's he doing? His finished work on the cross is going to allow us to come to this building tonight. Come in with whatever you're carrying. Hopefully through praise and worship, set that aside. Kind of drag yourself over to the table. It's available every Wednesday night. Pick up the cup, pick up the bread. What is it? It's just crackers and grape juice. But what does it stand for? His body broken for us. His blood spilled. Why? So that the power of sin and death has been broken. That was Psalm 22. We call that the cross. Tonight's going to be the crook, which is the little shepherd's hook, that little thing that has a curl on the end of it. And next, Psalm 24, the crown. So let's get started. Psalm 23. Many of you probably have memorized this. It's pretty cool stuff. Before we get started, you might want to mark in your margin here, Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 11. Jesus made a claim. He said, I am the good shepherd. Remember that? And you and I, who weren't raised in a Jewish background, we say, oh, that's nice. That's nice. He's likening himself to kind of like a pastor. You know what Jesus is saying? He's saying, look up Psalm 23. The good shepherd, look at verse 1. The Lord. notice capital L, capital O, capital R, and capital D. What does that mean? The translators are letting us know that in Hebrew there are four Hebrew characters. Transliterated in English, that would be YHWH, Yahweh. We insert the vowels for the convenience of our tongue. Jehovah. Who's that, you guys? That's the voice of the burning bush. Moses, well, who shall I say sent me when I face Pharaoh, the most powerful human in the world right now? You tell him that my name is I Am That I Am, Yahweh, Jehovah. Jehovah is my shepherd. Jesus is saying in John 10, I am that good shepherd. There are those who say, oh, come on, Jesus never claimed to be God. No, not really. He was a good teacher. He was a transcendent master. No, he is who, everybody? He is God who created the heavens and the earth. If you're sensitive to it, here's one location. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. When was Psalm 23 penned? We know that it's a psalm of David, but when? When did he pen it? We don't really know. Some people say it was at the beginning of his life, but there's some elements that we'll see here that I don't know. Maybe it was after some experiences. As we'll see in verse 4, the valley of the shadow of death thing, maybe he wrote it at the end of his life. I think I see God's wisdom in not telling us exactly when. Can these sentiments be true of a Christian just starting out in their walk? Mm-hmm. How about a Christian in the midst of a real challenge? Uh-huh. How about a Christian in the twilight of their days? Is it still as meaningful? That's wonderful. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. You might want to scratch in your margin. Psalm 84, verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. He is grace and glory, and no good thing will he withhold from them who walk uprightly. Here's what the psalmist is saying. Every good thing that God needs and has for me, I have. Which means that whatever you don't have in your life right now that you think is going to bring the completion, the period at the end of the sentence, guess what? If you don't have it, what? It's not good for you. Wonderful thought. The Lord is my shepherd, and I will lack no good thing, says Psalm 84, verse 11. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Really, one of the greatest commentaries on Psalm 23 is by a fellow by the name of Philip Keller. And he wrote in 1970, many of you in this room weren't even born in 1970. Aye, aye, aye. In 1970, he was a shepherd. Philip Keller was born to a missionary family in Kenya. And so he literally would walk with the shepherds of his day. When he came back to America, and sometimes he lived in British Columbia and Canada, for 8 years he owned and managed and ran a sheep ranch. And he has looked at Psalm 23 with that special eye of a shepherd. For instance, this idea here that he makes me lie down to green pastures, he leads me beside still waters. What is it that John Corson said? Fascinating that God doesn't liken us to lions, majestic. He doesn't liken us to the strength of bears or the fleet-footedness of a gazelle, even the cunningness of a fox. My people are kind of like, well, they're kind of like sheep. I will never forget, I'm probably 11 years old, and my sister, if I'm 11, she's 13, and we're in our 63 Dodge Polaris station wagon, and we're making the trek from Northern California, Redding, and we're going to go all the way to Colorado to see my grandparents. No air conditioning. No Game Boys, no phone things, no iPads. It was shut up and sit down. My sister, she passed the time by picking on me. But I remember this one time, we were in the middle of nowhere. You know, you go east of Sparks, it's pretty much right next to Gehenna, right out there somewhere. There's not much going on out there. But I remember there was this whole bunch of sheep that were moving across, and all the traffic stopped. And all these sheep were going across the road, and you had to stop. And I don't know, but I'm guessing there was several hundred sheep, and then there were shepherds that were more or less driving them. And of course, the shepherd dogs were moving back and forth and working with great skill. But I remember looking more or less in the front of the road, and then this massive backs of sheep started leaping over something. Brink, 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 brink. And I'm like, what are they leaping over, Mad Dad? Goes, look at that. And we couldn't see because of the other sheep, but we were sort of interested to see that when the current of sheep went by, what it was they were jumping over. And they started jumping higher and higher, and then pretty soon more and more. Instead of one sheep, there was several sheep jumping. And it was this something was in the middle of the road that was freaking these sheep out. So when they went on by and the shepherd sort of nodded to us, thank you for your patience, we drove up, we tried to see what they were leaping over. You know what it was? It was nothing. There was nothing there. I said to my dad, what were they jumping over? And he goes, son, that's the thing about sheep. They're stupid. The one sheep does what the other sheep does. Why? Because that's just what sheep do. God likens us whom he loves. But what's kind of our characteristic, you guys? We're kind of like sheep. We kind of go with the crowd more often than not. If one sheep freaks out about something, we think we should be freaking out about it as well. We're going to see here in a minute, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod was this long club with which the shepherd would fend off the attacks of savage animals. Philip Keller says that on several occasions, he would have to walk around the perimeter of his sheep herd, especially at night, because most of the times when the sheep were faced with a wolf or a predator of some kind, they would make no sound. They'd just go, and then their head would get ripped off. David will say in one other section, he'll say, why are you downcast, O my soul? Psalm 146, I believe. And we say downcast like a downcast sort of countenance. That's not really what he was saying. Remember, David, of course, was a shepherd on the hills there of Bethlehem. It was a cast sheep. Here's what a cast sheep would do. He would be walking, and then if he lost his balance or tripped and he fell on his side, if there was a bit of a roughed out concave nature to the trail, and if it was more than a typical effort to right themselves, sheep won't right themselves. They just sit there. And then if you know anything about their several stomachs, if a sheep is downcast and he's upside down, before long, of course, his innards turn upside down and he dies. So another thing the shepherd has to do, walk the perimeter with his club, and also his crook, he also had to look for cast sheep, downcast. David would say, why are you cast, O my soul? Why are you in the rut, upside down, feet going, and the sheep says, I'm upside down, so it must be time for me to die. Okay, goodbye, crew world. And the shepherd comes up and says, watch this. Boink. Oh, that wasn't so bad. I guess I don't have to die. And there are many, many wonderful stories that Philip Keller shares. He makes me to lie down green pasture. He leads me beside still waters. Philip Keller said, sheep, as a rule, will not drink from running water. It's moving too fast. I don't know. Does it feel funny on their little lips? They need still water. And they need green grass. This is a reference to when sheep are not starving, when they are satiated and full, then they'll lie down. Because you can scatter sheep very, very easily. Philip Keller tells another story. He saw a bunch of his sheep away from their regular portion of the flock, and they were near a tree, and they were just kind of grouped together and agitated. He could see from afar. So he left the sheepdogs in their location. I think he had some helpers with him. And he walked over to see why the sheep were seemingly stuck at the base of this tree. When he arrived there, you know what he found? Two squirrels chirping at the sheep. The sheep were cornered by squirrels. We're a lot like that as well. He makes me to lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. He makes me to lay down. In other words, what does your good shepherd do, you guys? He takes you to green pastures. Now, here's another interesting thing. He makes me lie down. Sheep, I understand, if they are agitated to a large degree and don't feel a sense of security, they will stay upright on their feet, and to the detriment of some, especially the young lambs, they can be up on their feet to the point of exhaustion. Sometimes a shepherd literally has to make the sheep just lay down. Have you ever noticed that sometimes your good shepherd says to you, you need to sit down for a while? Maybe it was an illness of some kind. Maybe you hurt your back or something, and you're not able to do some of the things that you were more often than not would like to do. Have you ever thought, why am I here, as it were, seemingly on the shelf, seated from anything else that I would really like to do? If you belong to Him, if you are His sheep, as we saw on Sunday morning, my sheep hear my voice, said Jesus, and I know them, and they follow me. If you are one of His, and He's causing you to lie down, please understand that He does so amongst green pastures. What does that mean? If He's asking you to step away, step down, lie down, rest. We have a tendency to say, you want me to rest here? In this? You look around and it looks anything but green pastures. But this is a kind of a nod to, if He's having you take a time of time out, everything you need is there with you. Hold your finger here. Join me in the Gospel of Mark chapter 6. Let me show you how cool your Bible is. Look down there to right around verse 32. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. They're in the Galilee region. But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran there on foot from all the cities. And they arrived before them and came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, he saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like what, everybody? They were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, this is a deserted place and there's no Walmart anywhere around here. And already the hour is late. Send them away, the disciples are saying to Jesus, that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread. For there's nothing to eat here. Verse 37, but he, Jesus, answered and said to them, you give them something to eat. And you know the story, right? They're all, I'm sorry, what? And they said to him, shall we go buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat? What? But he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And they found that they had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now watch this, verse 39. Then he, Jesus, commanded them, the multitude, the 5,000 men, another gospel says, plus their families. This could be a crowd of about 20,000 people. We're going to feed them right here with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And I'm sure the disciples are all, I don't think so. Then he, Jesus, commanded them to make them all what, everybody? Sit down in groups on the green grass. I love the Bible. Write in your margin, Psalm 23, verse 2. Jesus is fulfilling every line of Psalm 23 is fulfilled by our good shepherd. By green grass. Somebody should have said, the good shepherd makes us to lie down in what? Back to Psalm 23. I wonder if they folded their arms and they said, what's about to happen? And you know the story. Jesus broke the first law of thermodynamics. Didn't he study science? And from 5 loaves and 2 fishes, 5,000 men plus their families were fed. Because the good shepherd makes us to lie down in what kind of pastures, everybody? Green pastures. Please understand that when God asks us to lie down, as it were, you think you're moving and chugging a certain direction. And what if God is just basically saying, you, beloved, you did take a time out and sit down. And a part of you is going, but I hate it here. It's a desert place and there's thorns and thistles all around. Why are you making me stop here? The good shepherd won't have you to lie down unless it is what, everybody? Green grass. In other words, you may not see it at the time, but if he's asking you to lie down, please understand your good shepherd has a very good reason for it. He restores my soul. You know what the soul is, right? Soul is your mind, your brain, and it's the seat of your emotion. It's really is what most of us are most in touch with. It's what we feel, both good and bad, how our hardware was programmed with the software, the family system that we came from. There's all kinds of stuff. The soul collectively, along with the body, the physical flesh, the Bible describes as the flesh. And that the flesh is a hungry monster. And the flesh loves what the flesh loves. And our flesh gets weary, gets tired, gets offended, gets upset. And when your soul is downcast, who restores it? Oprah does. I wrote my Bible here. He restores my soul at the altar. Repentance, not necessarily counseling. He restores my soul. If there is a sense of thirst in our heart, please remember that Jesus said that he is the living water. And he said, if you drink from this cup, the fullness of the Spirit, then you'll never thirst again. And when I'm sort of thirsty in my soul, dry, as it were, in my walk with the Lord, please don't forget Psalm 23. Who restores the mind and emotions of the humans? He does that. And anytime we try to drink from another fountain, no wonder we're thirsty. What did he say to the woman at the well? He says, woman, can you lower your bucket and give me something to drink? And she looks at him, and first thing she noticed, she says, number one, you're a dude talking to a girl, and that doesn't usually happen. Then he looks him over and realizes, you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. What are you doing in Samaria? And how be it a Jew asked me for water? So she just can't get over the ethnic problem at first. Jesus said, oh woman, if you only knew who it was that was asking, you would ask of me and I would give you living water that you would never thirst again. She scoffs, right. The conversation continues. You know the story. Why don't you go tell your husband? No, I don't have a husband. Jesus said, rightfully you have spoken because you've had five husbands and the dude you're now living with is not even, you're not even married to him. She's all, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. That's what the Lord does. He showed up at the well. The lady, what is she doing in the middle of the day in that time of year, which is very, very hot? She missed when the normal ladies went early in the morning, in the cool of the early morning. She didn't go with the crowd. What's she doing there by herself? Probably because she's tired of the tongues wagging about, there she goes, Mrs. Five Husbands. A wizard, 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 wizard. And she maybe said, I don't want any of that garbage. I don't care if it's inconvenient. I'm going to go when it's convenient for me, even though it's hot. Who knows what she was thinking of on her way to the well? Oh, she sees as she approaches Jacob's well. She says, oh, there's somebody there. I was just kind of hoping I could be alone with my thoughts. She bumps into a guy there, asks her for water. He says, crazy stuff. What? Ask of you living water? He tells her her story, a word of knowledge. Finally, she says, I got to know something. Everybody's looking for the Messiah, and many are saying that he's close at hand. Are you him?
been listening to Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Services are Wednesday evenings at 6:30 and Sunday mornings at 10:30. Pastor Steve encourages you to follow Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Word, worship, prayer, and fellowship every day. If you'd like to hear today's message in its full, unedited form, or view the verse-by-verse teachings from Pastor Steve, visit harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org.
How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.